Paul's letter to the Romans. We come to Romans chapter 9 last week. And Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 are an entire section of the book of Romans. And as I've shared with you, some really great teaching in these passages. And each week it's always a bit challenging to say, what do you leave in and what do you leave out? Because there's just so much to talk about. For instance, if I could just talk about some of the cool things in these three chapters, and I hope we'll have a chance to talk about it. But if you were to look in Romans chapter 10, and then you see Romans chapter 10, verse 17, you'll see that it says, everybody there? I'm going to flip through a couple of things real quick. But in verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's this amazing teaching. This is speaking specifically about coming to Christ. You have to hear it to believe it, but you can expand that. Everything that we believe is based upon what we have heard. Faith comes by hearing, and it's an ongoing process. So all the beliefs that we have come from all the stuff that we've been hearing and hearing and hearing throughout our lives, which is why Jesus says, and I'll put a couple of verses on your outline, he says, take care what you listen to. And then another place in Luke chapter 8, he says, now take care how you listen. Now, the truth is that most people never stop to examine their belief system. But the Bible teaches that we can even change our beliefs if our beliefs aren't really working for us or if they're just not true. Many of us believe things that are just not true. So this is a very cool teaching, and I really hope that when we get there, that we get to talk about that extensive time here. But that's not what the theme of these three chapters is all about. But it's a very cool teaching. I want you to notice there in verse 19 of chapter 10, he simply says, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First, Moses says, he says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. And it's a very cool teaching as you look at that, that whatever it is that you and I have is supposed to cause, here in this case, Israel or the rest of the world, to look on at what we have and say, I want what they have. I need something what we have in our relationship with the Lord that draws people. But the truth of the matter is, if our marriages are as messed up as the rest of the world, and our children are as messed up as the rest of the world, and our finances are as messed up as the rest of the world, and we're not doing any better financially than the rest of the world, and the rest of the world looks on us and they just feel sorry for us, then it really doesn't cause them to be jealous to have what we want, because they look on and they say, I can have a bad marriage and weird kids and be in debt and financially ruined without Jesus. So how does that cause me to want what you have? And it's a great teaching, and I'm hoping that when we get there, that we get to stop and talk about this. Well, not only that, but the next verse there in the outline, or verse 20, just look at that, of chapter 10, he says, and Isaiah is very bold, and he says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. And I hope we get to talk about this when we come to it, that there is within the church at large around the world, there is what's called the seeker movement, where we are re-engineering churches to cater to a group that we would call seekers. But the Bible teaches here, he says that I was found by those who didn't seek me. You see, the truth is that in your salvation, it really has nothing to do with you deciding one day you're going to seek after God. It has everything to do with God actually seeking after you. Which is why Jesus says there in the outline, he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. But your salvation has to do with God seeking you, not with you waking up deciding to seek after God. It would be very hard pressed to go through the Bible and find any place where non-believers are called to seek after the Lord because it really is not about non-believers seeking after the Lord. It's about God seeking the non-believer. And then they become believers. And once they become believers, and he says, now seek the Lord because you can. But before that, because it's a great teaching. I hope we get to talk about it when we get there. But that is not the theme of these three chapters. Well, not only that, if you were to go all the way over to chapter 11, and you go to verse 29, chapter 11, verse 29, this great little verse, and it simply says, everybody there? Verse 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Some of your translations believe we'll be able to talk about this as we travel through. But even that is not the theme of these three chapters. There's some pretty cool stuff that hopefully we'll be able to talk about as we travel through. So I want to come back to what I'm going to call today his story. And we're going to look at chapters 9 through 11. We're going to walk through those to make sure that we get the theme, what's going on. Because these three chapters in their entirety, the whole picture, are essential for our understanding of ourselves, the nation of Israel, biblical prophecy, and most importantly, the time in which you and I live. These three chapters deal with the nation of Israel specifically, the past, the present, and the future. Now, it's three chapters, but they are not divided by subject. They are divided by Paul making personal statements. So I want you to notice that each chapter will begin with Paul making a personal statement. In chapter 9, Paul says, in the very beginning, he says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who are Israelites. Paul's heart is breaking over the fact that as he is Jewish, he's an Israelite, but he looks on and he sees that his nation, who received the Bible and the prophets and all of that, they're not receiving this gospel. Then you go to chapter 10, and he just says, my brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for them, for their salvation. So the idea is that Paul's heart for his people is that he wants his people to come into this relationship so that they can have salvation. Apparently, they need to have it. And so that's his prayer. But then you go to chapter 11, and you notice verse 1, he says, I say then, God has not rejected his people as him. He said, I'm not his people. But he says, may it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So these are all statements that Paul makes about his people, his people that he comes from nationally, that would be the nation of Israel. And so Paul, you'll recall from last week, as we started chapter 9, Paul begins talking about how they missed the gospel. And if you weren't here for that, and you want to get that teaching, you can pick that up in the resource library after the service today. But I'm going to pick it up today where we left off last week in chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 25. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 24. And Paul is going to, and I want you to write this down, Paul is going to remind us that it's all happening just like the Bible itself. Everything is happening just like the Bible said that it would. By the way, so far so good? Okay, let's go on through this. Verse 24, Paul is speaking. He left off last week because he even asked whom he also called, not from among the Jews, but also from among the Gentiles. Here he's talking about the Jews. We're talking about the Old Testament. As he says in Hosea, 500 years before Jesus was born, Hosea wrote, I will call on those who are not my people, my people, and her who is not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called the sons of the living God. So early in the 500 B.C., through Hosea prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there would be a time in the future when God's dealing would be specifically with the Gentile people, most of us, those would be non-Jewish, but that Gentiles would be entering into a relationship with God. And so they began to look towards that time. Then in verse 27, just before Hosea wrote, Isaiah wrote. And here's what Isaiah said in verse 27. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the sons of Israel be like the sand of the sea, it is the remnant. I'm going to the word remnant, that would be saved. For the Lord will execute his word on the earth thoroughly and quickly. And then it goes on to say in verse 49, he says, and just as Isaiah foretold, unless the Lord of Sabaoth has left us a posterity, we would become like Sodom and we would have resembled Gomorrah. So it talks about this time in the future when, although Israel would be nationally like the sand of the sea, great number, but only a few of them would be entering into that relationship, this time period of the gospel. A remnant would be saved. And so if that remnant wasn't, then it would be disappear altogether. Verse 30, he says, so what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. It couldn't grasp the whole grace of it. They believed it was by works. Why? Verse 32. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. And so they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Paul says that in this time, the Gentiles would be receiving, but sadly, his people would be rejected. In verse 43, once again, Paul quotes from Isaiah and says, it happened just as it is written. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him, whoever that stone would be, this is 700 years before Jesus was born, will not be disappointed. So that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, and it's a prophecy concerning Jesus, that he would come to the world, but he would be described as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And if you wonder if Jesus is a rock of offense, just go to work tomorrow morning and tell everybody that you're a follower of Jesus. And notice the lack of warm reception that you receive. He's a rock of offense. So, in this time period, Gentiles would be coming into a relationship with the Lord. But most Jewish people would not present. And he's speaking to Christians at this point. He says, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed. Don't miss this. Of this mystery. Paul's going to explain it to his son. He says, this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. Some of your translations will say something like, so that you don't become conceited. Some of your Bibles have the word conceited. Good. You can do like that. Either don't become wise in your own estimation or don't become conceited. Now, you need to hear me on this. Okay? Every application here. If you miss this, okay, also don't miss this, but if you miss this, you're going to become wise in your own eyes. And another way of translating that is to say you're going to become conceited. Okay, we'll see how that plays out as we travel through. Verse 25, he says, for I do not want you, brethren, and believers, to be uninformed of this mystery. Everybody understands this. So that, here's the reason why you don't want to be uninformed about this, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. That, here's the secret. A partial hardening has happened to Israel. Until, does your Bible have the word until? You want to underline that word until. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And underline that. The fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, you just noticed verse 26. We're not going to really talk about that. But then it says, and so all Israel will be saved. So, Paul says there's a mystery here. Three chapters is talking about this. I need to clear up the confusion. I put it there in the outline. And let me just read it from the New International Version. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. You can be ignorant of a lot of things, but please don't be ignorant of this. Brothers, speaking to believers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part. Now, why does it say in part? Because Paul is Jewish. It's not everybody, but in part. Most, yes, but there's some those in the good facts of the believers. Until the full numbers of the full number of the Gentiles has come in, for all Israel will be saved. So, Paul says, don't be ignorant of this. Being ignorant of this is going to lead to a conceitedness. He's also writing to believers, and the idea is that there are some believers who can miss what we're going to talk about today if they can miss this mystery. Paul says, whatever you do, don't miss this. So here's what we're seeing. I want you to write this down. Apparently, this partial hardening is only temporary. Very temporary. Until the fullness of the Gentiles is done. So the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Does that make sense so far? Which means that in the future, there's going to be this great revival in Israel. So after the full number of Gentiles have come in, something very interesting the Bible teaches is going to take place. And when it says the full number of Gentiles has come in, when God is through saying, you and me, we come from a non-Jewish background, when the last one of us gets saved, which is here today, we're not saved, could you please get saved? You may be the last one, and I might speed things along. 500 years before Jesus was born, Zechariah the prophet, together the second time with his hands, God's hands, the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Paphos, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Babylon, Elam, Hamath, and then to the islands of the sea. Now, the islands of the sea, they don't have a concept of continents. Because nobody's been to America or South America. is the habit of suffering that people started missing. And he says, but in